Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.
Repeat after me. The US dollar is obsolete. The US dollar is obsolete. The US dollar is obsolete. A cashless society would be a vast improvement over the crude system we know today. This concludes today's indoctrination lesson, for the betterment of all mankind. The Chad Olson Show thanks you for your cooperation. Goodbye.
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
What are you doing, Billy?
Oh, I'm looking for a job. Mom and Dad are both out of work, and I need to help.
Billy, that's exactly why I'm here, with the new Obama Unemployment Alleviator.
The Obama Unemployment Alleviator? Oh, boy, are you here to help us find new jobs?
Don't be ridiculous, Billy. The Obama Unemployment Alleviator doesn't create jobs. It just makes it look like we're creating jobs by alleviating unemployment.
Mister, I'm not sure I understand.
Well, Billy, it's simple. First, we get you and your parents to stop looking for work. By looking for a job, you're actually making unemployment much, much worse. Since you're still looking for a job, you're counted as unemployed. And that's a very bad thing for the government and for the president.
It is? So, what do you want us to do?
Well, it's very simple. Stop searching for a job. Stop scouring the want ads every day. Stop trying so hard. Then we punch the figures into the Obama Unemployment Alleviator, and with a little presto change-o, no more unemployment.
Mister, unemployment just dropped from 18% down to 9%. But we're still out of work. We don't have jobs.
Exactly, Billy. You're out of work, but you won't be unemployed. You wouldn't want to be unemployed, would you?
So we can be jobless and not be unemployed?
Now you've got it, Billy. And by remaining jobless and not unemployed, you'll be showing just how much you love your country and your president. In return, we'll give you things like food stamps and subsidized housing. After the election, of course.
But, mister, if we're jobless, out of work, but not unemployed, we'll lose everything.
That's the spirit, Billy. The Obama Unemployment Alleviator, concealing the economic truth since 2008.
Mister, do you think we could convince your boss to be out of work and not unemployed?
The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
I've just recently started listening to Chad Olson, and I think he is just outstanding.
I just gotta tell you, man, I love what you're doing.
You have given me back my voice in Rapid City.
The Chad Olson Show.
Chad Olson Show.
I love the stance you're taking and the voice that you have for conservatives.
I just thoroughly enjoy your program.
It is amazing. What you're doing with that programming is amazing.
He's a brilliant man. He's well-read. He's very intelligent.
It's just so good to hear that. You're doing a great job, and I'm calling everybody to turn on to KOTA.
The Chad Olson Show.
Chad Olson Show. Hey!
Chad Olson Show. The Chad Olson Show.
Find today's episode and previous editions of The Chad Olson Show on the podcast page at ChadOlsonShow.com. That's www.ChadOlsonShow.com. Log on now.
That's the argument. The world has paid far greater attention to the possibility of a natural origin. That has been the line of inquiry that even investigators from the WHO pursued. But they still haven't been able to locate the source of the virus. Was it bats? Was it pangolins? Was it any other animal? 2 years into the pandemic, we don't know. In the meantime, the circumstantial evidence around the lab leak continues to pile up. Shouldn't that be worthy of the world's attention? It should. And that's exactly what Dr. Chan argued for, an impartial assessment into the lab leak hypothesis.
Well, and in reality, as you and I know, and as anybody who's followed this closely from the outset, is a manipulated, utterly intentional and deliberate launching of this bioweapon against the human race. Anybody who's followed this knows that the cover-up and the way that they directed attention away from the possibility of the lab leak. And I remember very clearly, and with a great deal of frustration, the idiotic commentary and the flow of the conversation on social media. Anytime you get into a conversation on social media about the origins of the virus, yeah, these idiotic public school products sitting there just because their television told them over and over and over again, and Anthony Fauci and Robert Redfield and Francis Collins were telling the world that it was impossible that it was out of a lab. And it became very obvious that the Chinese didn't want anybody to be talking about the possibility that it came from the Wuhan BSL-4. And so you have these idiots who flunked eighth grade science, couldn't tell you the difference between mitosis and meiosis, sitting there espousing and expounding and pontificating broadly about, you know, the fact that anybody who said that it was a scientifically altered pathogen was a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist. Even if you happen to have a couple of Emmys on your mantle for investigative journalism, and by the way, if you had chosen, you could have been a microbiologist or a medical doctor. Just these broad assumptions that, you know, you're not smart enough to talk about any of this stuff unless you actually did the matriculation. It's a personal frustration. I'll set that aside. But no matter what evidence you stuck under their nose, trying to explain a furin catalyst protein cleavage site proclivity to somebody with a, you know, modern day ill-begotten, you know, public school, high school education is just a fool's errand. And when they're reinforced in their conformity bias and their normalcy bias about, well, it came from bat soup. This came from the Wuhan wet market, don't you know? And it's like, you know, it's all well and good, but find me the animal that it came from, because that's what we do when we're tracing the origins. Normally, that's what we do when we're tracing the origins of a pandemic. If it came from the wet market, that's fine. Should be easy. Should take an afternoon to round up all the possible animal hosts of the original virus. It's a busy afternoon, but it should have been done and could have been done. They still haven't done anything even resembling that. And that's one of the telltale signs. As if you needed another justification or another confirmation that this came from the Wuhan BSL-4, but we're just playing along with the idiocy of the normalcy bias contingent and China's very effective propaganda. And I'm going to say something else regarding the effectiveness of the messaging that Beijing very clearly wanted to guide the narrative, the way that they wanted to steer the narrative from the outset, because even patriots fell into this trap. The narrative was, you know, the virus is minimally harmful. It's basically just the cold or the flu. It doesn't even rise to the level of regular pneumonia. Blah, 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 blah. And patriots spent, even up to present day, many of them even denying the existence of the virus itself. And as I told you from the outset, that is, you are carrying the narrative water of Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party themselves. They should at least be paying you as much as they paid Eric Swalwell if you're going to be carrying pro-China propaganda and this narrative that distracts from the deep state and the Chinese collaboration to inflict this bioweapon monstrosity on the human race, and everything that we know about the spike protein and the circulatory problems and the coagulation disorders and the thromboplasticity implications, blood clotting disorders, everything that's happening with the implication of the SHC-014 spike protein, which is going to be with humanity forever. The spike protein, both through the mRNA vaccinations and the propagation of the mRNA virus and the vaccines are identical in terms of their mRNA nanotech nefarious implications for the circulatory system, massive inflammation, massive potential for thrombothrombotic events, interference with thromboplasticity. That's your body's propensity to clot and have clotting disorders. They talk about I swear to God, the Johnson & Johnson adenovirus vaccine is simply a distraction from the reality that the SHC-014 spike protein in and of itself is a thrombothrombotic stimulus. Because all they talk about in terms of clotting is, well, the Johnson & Johnson shot is the clot shot. Well, reality is, Moderna and Pfizer, they're all clot shots. They just present in different ways and in different time frame, and we see the death toll all around us, and it seems as if world-class cardiovascular athletes, whether it be mountain bike racers or triathletes or bike racers, sports that yours truly took part in as a young person and throughout most of my adulthood, with bicycle racing and all the rest of it, these people are more likely to suffer adverse reactions to the shot, probably because of the health of their red blood cells and their red blood cell production. There have not been any reliable studies yet into the reasons that the mRNA and the spike protein cause these events, except we know that the N-hydroxycytidine basically acts like tiny razor blades inside your veins, and you have these severe inflammatory response inside your veins. It's interesting too that this happens, and this comes at a conjunction where we were sort of starting to redefine the root causes of arterial sclerosis, hardening of the arteries, steering it away from the simple plaque interference of cholesterol and all that to an understanding that it was the inflammatory markers and it was the body's inflammatory response that was causing the hardening and the premature aging of the arterial system. The mRNA and the vaccines themselves are a fast-forward button in the extreme to create exactly the same circumstances that lead to hardening of the arteries and heart disease. And that's putting aside the thromboplasticity and D-dimer implications, the clotting, the increase and acceleration in the clotting factor inside the human blood. You get the double whammy because once you've got these little micro razor blades that are bumping into the cell walls and bumping into the junction areas of arteries and capillaries and all the rest of it, especially inside the lungs, and this is part of the reason that pulmonary edema and pulmonary embolism are so prevalent with both the vaccines and with COVID-19 itself, is because of the extreme inflammatory response in those microvascules inside the alveoli. Smaller the area, smaller the blood vessel, the more negatively implicated the circulatory portion in terms of the reaction to the mRNA vaccine. Where do we find the finest blood vessels? Well, how about inside the brain? And as I've told you, they are attacking longevity, fertility, and cognition. That's the very terrifying specter and realization about what they're trying to do with this depopulation event and this utter attack on humanity, both for the rewriting of the world economy, scuttling of the 2020 election,
being able to rig that against Donald Trump, regain their power, and then go for broke on the other side of it in the policy ways that they have with the Biden in-name-only regime. It's so obvious, their desperation. The question remains whether people who are truth-tellers inside the scientific community are going to push back on all the idiots who've been indoctrinated with the bat soup narrative, the stupidity of the pangolin tartare narrative, to the point that we can actually have intelligent conversations about what's the very obvious conclusion about the infliction and the deployment of this bioweapon. That's to say nothing. I've made this comparison before, and I didn't mean to leave it until the very end of the segment. In 1986, when Chernobyl, the nuclear meltdown, the radioactive meltdown of the Chernobyl nuclear plant in Ukraine, inside what was then the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev was very explicit about the reality that very much hastened and guaranteed the end and the breakup of the Soviet Union. It was an industrial disaster. It was a scientific failure. It was a failure of Soviet technology. It was a national embarrassment, and it was a tremendous health event for the entirety of the planet, and it signaled an absolute failure of the Soviet state that ultimately led to an erosion of the illusion of Soviet omnipotence in the minds of their own people and led to the breakup of the Soviet Union. Mikhail Gorbachev has said that. Other historians are basically in unison talking about that. How much more and a greater exponent does the COVID-19 lab leak, if it were an accidental release from the Wuhan BSL-4, how much more would that lead to the destruction of the nation of China? How much more would it cast the Chinese regime in infamy? And how much more would it imperil the prospects of one Xi Jinping as the dictator of that nation? But it's done exactly the opposite. The reason it's done the opposite, the reason it's actually increased Xi Jinping's prestige as a world leader and as a leader inside the nation of China is because it was a successful attack to defeat Donald Trump, to retaliate for the Trump trade victory, and to put the New World Order back on schedule in accomplishing their aims. They've done all of that and so much more. It was not an accident. It was a bioweapon deployment for the accomplishing of one world government. Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
Chad Olson Show.
But when WHO investigators set out to find the origins, they completely ignored the lab leak angle. And this lapse came up during the hearing. Dr. Chan said she'd followed the WHO investigation. She gave the parliamentarians in the UK an inside track of how the WHO's investigators dealt with the question of a lab leak.
I'm going to say that about the WHO as well. Let's be clear about how they decided whether the lab leak was likely or not. They went into a room where there were Chinese government officials, and they all asked the scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, did you do this? And they said, no, we didn't. And then they voted. They voted to see how likely you think this is in front of Chinese government officials. What do you think the response would be? Who would say that we think a lab leak is likely? So...
This is the SOS Radio Network. S-O-S.